Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Thirsty, a Sheriff James Roberts story from the Wild West, an original story written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Addie Stevens and her family in Elon, North Carolina, Caleb and his family, Esther and Eva and their family in Hamburg, Germany, Mishka and her family, MacAttack and Eamon and their family in Boston, and Zara in Surrey Downs in South Australia. Thank you so much, Zara, Eamon, MacAttack, Mishka, Eva, Esther, Caleb, and Addie. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder, or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Thirsty, a Sheriff James Roberts story from the Wild West.
Water sweet as honey, rain a distant dream. I'd trade my soul and money roll for a halfway full canteen.
The song came to the sheriff suddenly, scoured free by the sandy fever in his head. He'd been in the desert for a week now. He was sunburned, windburned, hungry, tired, and more. But none of that was the real problem. No. The real problem was this. Sheriff James Roberts was thirsty. It had always been a small word, thirsty. Strictly a lowercase t word. Thirsty was how he felt after a hard day of riding in the sun. Thirsty was how he felt when he woke up in the morning to a dry and dusty mouth. Thirsty could be fixed by a ladle of cool water from the pump. This was different. This was more than thirsty. This was thirst. This was the deep and primal ache. It left his throat hot and painful. His lips cracked like an old scab. 3 days. 3 dry, agonizing days. That's how long it had been since he'd had a drink. Even that was barely a sip, just the warm dregs of his canteen. Now, he found himself in the middle of the Brandabrow Desert, alone, with nothing but the buzzards for company and not so much as a mouthful to drink. Oh, it had all started well enough. Len Bradford and his bandits had come to Haverhill, thinking they'd find an easy target in the small town bank. Instead, they'd found Sheriff James Roberts and 3 U.S. Rangers ready and waiting. Most of the bandits were arrested without drawing their weapons, but Len and his brothers had escaped through a second-story window and hightailed it for the desert. But all that had been, it seemed like, a lifetime ago. Before the endless sun and the buzzards and the terrible, spirit-breaking thirst. Sheriff Roberts had caught up to the bandits after a day or so of rough riding while they were resting their horses. They'd fought under the burning sun. The thundering commotion had scared the horses, the sheriff's included. Roberts had been thrown as the animals bolted, and he had torn up his leg on a rock. The horses turned and fled back to town. Len Bradford and his brothers lit after them on foot. Roberts was forced to take an hour to clean and bandage his wound, and then he picked up their trail. That had been 3 days ago. 3 long, thirsty days. Or was it 4? The sheriff's memory was getting a little fuzzy at the edges, fraying like an old shirt. He'd catch the Bradford brothers if he could, but his first priority had become getting home alive. No small task. At first, the sheriff had been certain the Rangers would catch up and help him. In his frantic chase, he knew he'd left a clear trail. But when no one came after a day, he realized he was wrong. They must have stopped to gather a posse, horses, water. No doubt they tracked him to the edge of the desert, but the wind-blown sands erased all traces, swallowing his tracks as sure as they'd swallow his body if he gave in and collapsed. No, there'd be no way for the Rangers to follow. There'd be no help coming. If he was going to make it out of the desert, he'd have to do it alone. Just him and his sweat against 5,000 square miles of desert. And, well, he'd had better odds.
Water sweet as honey, rain a distant dream. I trade my soul and money roll for a halfway full canteen.
The song again. Even now, he heard it in his wife Annie's voice. It was an old love song she had sung to him, about a pioneer woman who had nearly died of thirst in the desert. Bleak thoughts. But there was something about it, something beyond the obvious echo of his situation. It nagged at his brain like a rock in his boot. Why that song? Why now? He shook his head and started walking again. His boots felt heavy, his feet raw in his shredded socks. The shifting sand made every step harder than normal. Like the ground was thirsty, too. Thirsty for him. The thought made him laugh, but the laughter stuck in his dry throat. It came out as a short, ugly bark, and he winced with pain. Lord, he needed a sip of water. Somewhere in the distance, the air swam over the sand. It seemed to ripple and waver in a way that sand had no right to.
Water, he croaked,
because it was. There, nearly lost among the dunes, was an oasis. He saw a sprawl of green grass, a crooked tree, and pool of clear water, bubbling up deep from within the earth. He turned and stumbled towards it, forgetting all about escaping for a moment, thinking only of relief.
Water,
he panted, wasting breath with every step.
Water.
He walked for what felt like a mile. But when he looked up, the wavering pool seemed no closer. The buzzards called out overhead, and in his near delirium, Roberts felt like he could understand them. They were laughing at him. They'd seen animals try and beat the desert before, but the shifting sands were the all-time champ, heavyweight class, undefeated. The sheriff licked at his cracked lips. If only he could reach that water.
Oasis cool and flowing, so lovely you could burst. Don't you chase those mirages. No, love, they won't slake your thirst.
His wife's voice again, running through his mind. He stopped in his tracks, staring at the hazy distance. It wasn't an oasis, he realized. It was a mirage, like in the song. Groggy, he remembered his desert survival. The sand gets so hot, it makes the air just above it heat up. The hot air mixes with the cold air higher up, and it makes it look all swimmy. But it's just an illusion. There's no water there. There's nothing to drink. Just more hot sun and hot air and endless sand. James Roberts sighed and turned away. It was a letdown for the water to not be real, but he was thankful for the song. Without it, his thirst-crazy mind might have chased that mirage all the way to his death.
Silly mistake, he thought to himself, and the desert doesn't tolerate silly mistakes.
He looked at his pocket watch and then up at the sun. It wasn't much as far as navigation went, but it helped him turn back towards town, or at least in its general direction. Another hour passed and the sheriff started to hear a new noise. For hours, days it seemed, there'd been nothing but the sandy shuffle of his steps, the buzzard's laughter, and the distant, mournful wind. Now, though, there was something else. It was a low rumble, hard to place. On a good day, the sheriff would have recognized it at once. With no water and a fever running through his sunburned head, it was just another sound. He put the rumble out of his mind and kept walking. After another staggered mile, he slipped and fell to his knees. Part of him wanted to just lay down. Let the sands blow over him. Let the buzzards have their feast. It would be so easy. And then he heard the scream. He turned and rose to his feet, old instincts cutting through the haze. Behind him, a giant cougar came prowling from the sands. It was staring him down with its liquid golden eyes, its purr making that strange rumbling noise he'd been hearing. As he watched, frozen, the big cat prowled closer. Roberts thought it seemed to be in about as bad shape as he was. The golden fur was thin in places, and he could count the ribs showing on its sides. That would be both good and bad, he realized. Good that it was weak, bad because it would be desperate. Well, Roberts was desperate too. He knew how you dealt with cougars. You got big. You got loud. James Roberts cupped his hands to his mouth to shout, but his wasted throat could only manage a croak, barely even a word. The buzzard seemed to laugh at him again. The cougar prowled closer, growling that deep, endless rumble. It snarled, and it was so close now that the sheriff could count its teeth, including the four giant fangs big as 30-30 Winchesters. The hulking cat screamed again, and somehow, even in the endless heat of the desert, the sheriff felt his blood run cold. Laying down and calling it quits seemed more appealing than ever.
Hands are weak and wanting, they're reaching out for his, holding on ain't easy, but then nothing worth it is.
The song again felt like a cool sip of water running down the dusty trough of his mind. Suddenly, James Roberts wasn't ready to call it quits. He had Annie at home. He had to get back. The big cat ran towards him, but the sheriff was ready for it. With the fluid speed of long practice, he drew his revolver and squeezed the trigger. Kablam! His hands were shaky and the bullet went wide of the mark, kicking up sand. Still, the thunderous sound did the job. The cougar stopped so suddenly, it rolled over in the sand and then turned tail and ran. Roberts tried to aim for another shot, but the cat was moving too fast and his hands were too weak to hold steady. The cat disappeared into the distance. James sighed in relief. Above, the buzzards circled higher, startled but unwilling to leave their meal. He slid the revolver back into its holster. Heaving a sigh, he turned to keep walking towards town. It was high noon now, and the sun was merciless. It was well over 100 degrees, and every uncovered inch of his skin was an angry red burn. His wide hat kept his face from frying, but his lips felt like rocks, his mouth a dry pit full of gravel. The sand was hot and flat and endless. The only shade was from the cacti that cast thin, flickering shadows. Every moment, the sheriff hoped to see the U.S. Rangers come over the horizon on horseback, full canteens jingling on their saddlebags. Or maybe even the Bradford brothers, sprawled out in the sand with their stolen money. Or, hope of hopes, he'd see Haverhill, his own little town nestled on the edge of the desert, its winding river sparkling in the sun. There was none of that, though. All he saw was more sand, sun-bleached bones, and the occasional cactus standing tall and green. He thought about cutting one open. He knew they had moisture inside, but he stopped himself. Everyone who lived near the desert learned that the cacti had moisture, sure, but moisture wasn't water. To keep themselves safe from critters, cacti grew full of bitter alkaloids that were as good as poison to a thirsty person. Still, Roberts had learned there was a safe cactus to drink from. Well, safe was pushing it, but it wasn't poison at least. You could drink some of the water, as long as you weren't on an empty stomach, and he had a few hard biscuits in his belt bag that had been too dry to eat. He tried to remember what the safe cactus was, but the heat was worse than ever. He found himself staggering every step, his mind twisting in circles. Finally, near crazy from thirst, he stumbled over to the nearest cactus and drew his Bowie knife. "Water," he rasped, hacking at the tough green skin and getting jabbed by needles for his trouble. The buzzards laughed in response, circling above, black against the sun. "Please, water." Liquid started to bleed out from the cut in the cactus, thick and warm. Roberts leaned in to drink, eyes crazed and eager. He sucked in a mouthful of water and started hacking. It was acrid and sour and wretched. He couldn't even bring himself to swallow the single poisonous sip.
Wild water's tasty is bitter. Easy drinks will leave you blue. It's through the spines and fishhook tines that you'll find something true.
The song again. Roberts jerked back, looking around wildly. In his dehydrated craze, he could have sworn his wife Annie was actually there, singing into his ear. He expected to turn and see her behind him, the song on her lips, a book in her hand. She'd be smiling, and she'd smell like sage from the fields. Of course, when he looked behind him, he only saw sand. Sand, cacti, rocks, and heat. That endless, sprawling desert tapestry. But the song. Those lines were running through his head. Annie was singing them. The sheriff staggered a few more steps and then fell to his knees again. So thirsty. So thirsty, and all he could hear were those lines. The burning fever in his head made it hard to focus, but he heard them. Heard them again and again. Heard them loud and clear as Sunday's church bell.
Wild water's tasty is bitter. Easy drinks will leave you blue. It's through the spines and fishhook tines that you'll find something true.
He froze, mind turning slow like a lizard in the sun.
The hooks. That's something. It's the hooks.
James Roberts looked around wildly and spotted his target. It was another cactus, much like all the rest, but this one had barbs that bent in like fish hooks. Hands trembling, he took his Bowie knife and cut away the top of the rounded plant. Inside, the water oozed free. It looked much the same as the other cactus, the poison one, but there was only one way to tell. Sheriff James Roberts leaned in and took a slurping sip. It was warm and smooth and clean. It felt like a kiss from Annie. It felt like coming home. It felt like the single best thing he had ever tasted. Later that night, thirst slaked and canteen full, Sheriff James Roberts finally found the bandits. The Bradford brothers were laying in a circle around a meager fire. They were moaning, sunburned and blistered and holding their stomachs, rocking back and forth in pain. They were so distracted they didn't even notice him until he strode into the firelight and kicked their guns spinning away into the dark. "Out for a walk? Looks like you boys took a wrong turn," he said. He reached into his duster and the bandits cringed with fear, but he only pulled out a canteen. He pulled the stopper out with his teeth and took a long swig, the cool water running from his cracked lips and down his sunburned chin. He kept drinking, water spilling and dripping off him now. The bandits moaned and scrambled as it spilled to the thirsty sand and disappeared. In the distance, the sheriff could hear the thunder of hoofbeats. The rangers had finally found them, he knew. A few minutes earlier, he'd spotted them on the horizon, torches in their hands. Like Roberts himself, they'd no doubt been drawn by the bandits' fire smoking in the moonlight. Roberts could have held back for them, but there was work to be done, and it wasn't in his nature to wait. Instead, he stood over the bandits and took another long, messy swig of water. They watched him with tortured expressions. "Now," he said, tossing down a set of handcuffs, "first one who surrenders gets a drink." It had been a tough week, but in the end, seeing three of the toughest outlaws in the West fighting over who got to be arrested first made it almost worth it. The end. Today's story was called Thirsty, a Sheriff James Roberts story from the Wild West. An original story written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon, with original songs by us both. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.